I saw a clear decentralization, giving power back to the people. And that was the movement of what we were going through and absolutely still are going through, taking the power away from the corrupt centralized governing bodies and then giving that power back to the people. So that was one of the core things that really triggered me and was an eye-opener, moving away from that traditional broken system.
That is Joseph Hsu, and this is episode 35 of the Blockchain Pro podcast. Hello, and welcome to episode 35 of the Blockchain Pro podcast. I'm Adriana Bellotti, and today's guest is Joseph Hsu. Joe found his passion in teaching how to safely invest in cryptocurrencies. And although I tend to not talk about the currency and investing sides of blockchain in this podcast, whenever there's a bull run, I feel like it's an important part of the conversation for a lot of people. So we are going to talk about it today. Bearing in mind that this is not financial advice, we will not talk about trading specific securities, but instead, Joe will take us through an overview of the do's and don'ts that he teaches in his course. Let's dive right in. Hi, Joe.
Hello. Thanks for having me on, Adriana.
Thank you so much for being here. I'm sure a lot of people will love what you have to share with us today.
Absolutely.
Let's go back in time and tell me how you got started.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll share with you how I started investing to begin with, and then kind of what led into my financial career, and then what helped me to transition into cryptocurrencies as well. And I'll keep it high level because I don't want to go on for too long about this. But like I was mentioning before, my initial step into the world of investing happened at a very young age. I was 12 at the time, and that was more of a circumstance of a situation where my dad unfortunately had a stroke at a young age. He was 40, I was 12 at the time, and that was because he was working three jobs, working endless hours, 16 hours a day sometimes, for money. And what I realized is, after going through that, which deeply scarred me and it stays with me now, and that's why I run the company that I do, which I explain briefly, but that triggered me to want to learn and have the desire to get my money to work for me, so I didn't fall into the trap of working for money like most people are conditioned to by society. So started investing in the London Stock Exchange. As you can tell, I'm English, or maybe, I don't know, maybe I've lost my English accent slightly, being here nearly seven and a bit years, but so I started investing, had no idea obviously what I was doing, made a lot of mistakes, and I ended up studying at a top London uni, finance and economics, and very fortunately that was through the time of the GFC, and instead of using my student loan to buy all of these great things, I used my student loan and money that I had from a business that I created on the side, and I used that to invest into stocks. Which was very fortunate at the time, and I made a substantial amount of money at a young age through investing at the right time, which was a coincidence, fortunate, had a lot of training before then. And that really led to a career in finance. So that's my predominant background, a financial career. And then it's about 4.5 years ago, I realized that I was falling into the pattern and trap of kind of what my dad was, of working serious hours, like 12-hour days sometimes. And I was making a lot of money, but I realized that I was making a lot of money, but I couldn't enjoy it with friends or family and doing all this stuff. And it's the constant cycle and trap that I think most people probably watching this are caught in and thinking, I know exactly what Joe's talking about here. So I was very fortunate that I've been investing in other markets still, in stocks. And probably about 2014, I transitioned a lot of that into cryptocurrencies, because I never thought constricted inside of the box, maybe because of what happened at a young age with my dad and the experience that I went through. So I always thought differently, and I saw how broken our financial system was, which fortunately was due to my background. And I transitioned what I held in stocks into cryptocurrencies in 2014. And then from there, I got some really cool results, and people were like, well, you're not working anymore and you're having all this fun. Like, what are you doing? So I started helping some people, and then I was like, this is clearly why I've been put here. This is my purpose, to help people go through that kind of experience of, instead of chucking money into the market and making all the mistakes that I did for the first couple of years. I didn't chuck my money in 2014 and suddenly I was a multimillionaire overnight. It didn't quite happen like that. I made all of the mistakes that you could possibly imagine, from, like, who hasn't, right?
You started at 12. I guess you would have made more mistakes than most people.
Yeah, exactly. Back then there was, like, you were having to create your own private keys, and I'm not a tech guy, so it was quite challenging back then. It's a lot easier now. And there's still some challenges and barriers to entry, which is a good thing. That's where the value proposition is still, for, from what I can see, until it becomes more mainstream and easily adoptable. But yeah, I made all these mistakes. And then from there, fortunately, around 2016, things started to go extremely well. And given my knowledge and background, I knew market cycles, so I was able to act rather than hold and hope, like most people unfortunately were. And that's when we started CCI back in 4.5 years ago now, so early-ish 2016. And and it's really to, I guess, help people that who were me stuck in that kind of rat race, and wanting to use the money that they're making to create some form of freedom. But really, the driver behind all of this goes back to my deepest wound, which is the experience that I've witnessed with my dad. I want people to be present fathers or mothers, and I want people to have opportunity where they're not a slave to a conditioned system, but they've got the confidence to do something different. And I don't want people to lose a lot of money like I did in the beginning stages. And I want also people to realize their true potential. I know that I came from a very good training ground and foundation and base, even before transitioning into cryptocurrency. So I'm able to take a lot of knowledge and make it very compact and simple. I'm such a simple guy. I'm not an uber intelligent guy. I take something that no one understands and make it easy for me to understand, therefore everyone understands it. So that's I guess how I got into it, but more so why I run CCI now.
The why is very important.
Absolutely.
So let's dial back just a little bit and tell me about, okay, you're heavily trading stocks. Like, I would assume you started in the traditional markets. Yeah. I don't assume, you just told me. Yeah, but then how did you got into crypto? You found Bitcoin first? How did that happen?
Yeah. So
a wild moment, like most people who find Bitcoin does.
Absolutely. So I think part of it was alignment. So I spend maybe too much time meditating and trying to connect into a higher frequency. And I think one thing that I've always been good at is operating from a place of alignment. So if an opportunity's come across my desk, rather than logically saying, no, this isn't right, I give it a chance. So that triggering happened for me in terms of, I saw it, I think it was like in the news, and I know obviously we had the Silk Road issue, which brought it to my attention, and I was like, internet money, what's this? And I was very fortunate to come across Martin Davidson, who you know very well and is a great friend of mine, as he's made me extremely wealthy and himself in the process. And I was very fortunate to be there at the inception of the Blockchain Center, which was in Melbourne on City Road, with Sam and the other guys. And Martin was just an incredible guy, and he helped me to understand more about it and gain that clarity. And for me, I just remember sitting there. It was quite funny. We were sitting there at the Blockchain Center, and I went to a meetup, and I think it was like the first one that they'd ever run, and there were three people in the room. And Martin, because I've run so many live presentations since, I was that annoying person in the room that he was trying to do a presentation, and every 2 minutes, my mind was just blowing because of my finance background. I knew I was understanding it, and I was just peppering him with question after question after question. And he was like, oh, can you just reserve the question for the end? So I stood there with him for 4 hours afterwards, and I don't even drink beer, and I think we drank about 6 beers each. And I was just asking him so many questions. And I walked away, and I just had so much certainty and clarity on, I was just blown away. I was literally speechless. And that was it. That was my explosive moment of, I've just found the future. I believe I'm a seer, like visual of the future and where things are going to go. And to me, it was just so clear. I could see how broken and corrupt our system was. As I said, I learned about the GFC at uni, and we did it so deep and granular. So to me, I was searching, and it arrived, and because I was aligned and ready for it, I heard it, and I tuned into it, and I took action on it. And that's the big thing, because I hear people all the time saying I could have invested in Bitcoin in 2010, 2011, 2012. And I was like, you weren't aligned. You weren't open. You were shown the opportunity because you kept asking for it. And it was hitting you in the face, and you're like, leave me alone. Where, I felt like I was aligned and ready for it. And I just went bang straight into it then. So, and obviously I took unnecessary risk, and I did stupid things. And as you do when you're younger, I think it was 24 at the time, and you're younger and naive, and you get all excited. So that's a big part of my maturity and my lesson and my teachings as well. Going through the experience and being that gung-ho investor to now really helping people being sophisticated and strategic investors.
Oh, so that means on your course, I think on your website, you have a downloadable PDF that goes through some of the common mistakes that people make. Did you learn all of those the hard way?
A number of them, absolutely. I think the best teachers are the ones that have been through the lessons themselves, and they're like, don't do this. And sometimes I know that even though you're told what not to do, you can still fall into the trap and pattern of being like, oh, no. And then you do it, and it's like, shit, that's why they get telling me. So absolutely, I hold my hand up. I've been through, I've kicked the rock, fallen flat on my face, but the great thing is I always seem to get back up. And I think that's true, how you achieve the success. It's like, this is what my expectation, and I know that it's going to be like this, kind of like the, if you look at the Bitcoin chart through 2013, 14, and 17 into 18, even though it goes up a couple of thousand percent, it also has 30 to 50% corrections along the journey, and that's it. The learning experience for me was those corrections within a different kind of way, so yeah.
Okay, so let's go through those common mistakes real quick. I wrote them down so we wouldn't skip any. So number one is avoid the day trade trap.
Yes.
What does that mean?
Absolutely. So I think what I often see is in a market that goes up parabolic like that, the kind of the dartboard scenario, if you close your eyes with 3 darts in your hand, you throw them at the dartboard, they're all going to hit bullseye. And what happens on a psychological level here is people all of a sudden, they get really excited that I can start trading and look how much money I've made. And all of a sudden they become what I call an overnight day trading professional, meaning that they've got no past experience in FX, commodities, or any other markets. So they've never really understood the core foundations and principles. They just get real lucky in a real quick short time frame. They think they've got everything solved. And I've seen this in particular. I was hanging around the blockchain center a lot in 2017, and I saw all of these people remortgaging their houses and getting so much excitement from what they were doing, chucking their money in the market, day trading. And then all of a sudden the market corrects 87% over the next 12 months. And it's happened, I think the first time it was 83% from 2014 over the next, I think it was about 344 days. And then the next time around, it was a 12 month time frame of 87%. That's when the people are thinking, shit, what do I do? And that's where they have no skill and they fall into that excitable trap and they lose a considerable amount of wealth in a short period of time. So what I always say to people is don't be a day trader or have that mentality of, if you're working a full-time job, when are you going to do it? In the morning at lunchtime or when you're palming your kid in the face because they're trying to get your attention and you're too busy looking at charts or at the dinner table or your phone under the table. It's not sustainable. It's not realistic. It's not manageable. So I'd rather teach people proactive investment strategies where they can be a lot more hands-off, automate that, and then integrate it into their life. I know it's a bit long-winded. I'm trying to be succinct, but I want to say all the core things that I think are really valuable for people listening, because this is one of the biggest mistakes I see people make. What I often find is people get into cryptocurrency to create freedom. Then all of a sudden they become a slave to the markets. They got no freedom and it psychologically ruins them and their relationships, not only with their partners, their kids.
And they lose money.
So to me, I'm not saying...
They don't tick all the boxes.
Absolutely. And I know there's great people out there like Trader Cobb, and I'm sure he's doing a great job. But I know I'm a realistic person that I know that I'm talking to most people that have a job and they're not going to quit and do this full time. And I don't want anyone sitting in front of a computer screen for hours and hours every day studying this and looking at all these patterns. And absolutely, we teach technical analysis and we've got a head analyst that specializes in this. But it's so you can develop and build out proactive investment strategies, which you can automate and be hands off from and allow the market to come to you, rather than chasing the market like so many people do. And that's what gets real results.
Yeah, I think automation there is the key word, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Your common mistake number two is giving away control.
Oh, absolutely. This is what I see more and more. It touches on the scam side of things that you were talking about. So for me, control is on a number of different levels. Firstly, giving your money to someone else to make decisions for you. And this is where most scams, unfortunately, fall. Just start here. It's only $250. You're guaranteed 1% a day. All of these things are real clear, obvious scams. Pyramid schemes are all scams where there's no value. Get someone under you and you can make money from them. There's no value in it. So they're the things that I would really point out. So never give your money to someone else to manage it for you. You are the best person to control your money, nobody else, because you understand your risk level, your financial position, your goals, your skill level. What you want to do is elevate your consciousness and your insight and education so you can make more informed decisions with the money that you are investing. The secondary part of control, and I think this is maybe another point on there, so I'll touch on it briefly and I can confirm it again at the end if it's not. Most people are using YouTube or Google and all these other things to get information on the top five cryptos to 5 million bullshit. Sorry, did I say swear word? they're using the marketing schemes and scams of Yatika Tiwari and all these people out there that trigger you to say, okay, these must be it. And you chuck your money in, no research, no informed decisions, no control. And you just base your decision off what someone else is saying. And the analogy that I use for this is, it's kind of like going down to the sea with an empty glass, drinking some salt water. You wouldn't do it because you start choking. But if you get that salt water and you tip it into a filter to purify it, then it is drinkable at the other end. So that's what we teach people about regaining that control, where you've got a system, you've got an approach. Yes, listen to your Tikas or whoever wants to spruik the latest and greatest opportunities, but then filter it through your own process so that when you make a decision, it's right for you. Because what I invest into, what Adriana invests into, what anyone else invests into should all be different, because you've all got different financial positions, risk level, skill level, goals. So we shouldn't just be conditioned that buy now, sell now, buy this, buy that. It just doesn't work like that. And they're benefiting off you all the time because you're leeching on them for the latest and greatest all the time. And that's sucking your power away. The only way you can gain power is by taking control. You need to be in the driver behind your own vehicle rather than sitting in the passenger seat.
And that's one of the beauties of the crypto space, right? That you can do that. You don't need a broker to sell your stocks or anything like that. And we've seen this week that there's a lot of problems with that system, and we can certainly play in this system that is more, you know, people focused.
Yeah, absolutely.
Number three, too much research. I think that may fall into what we were just talking about with listening to the YouTubes and whatnot too much.
Yeah, overnight experts, I like to call them. So the core thing is you can research endless hours and still not have a definitive answer on understanding what you're actually doing and what you're investing into. And that's why we've created a real succinct and strict process to go through to ensure that you hit all the points, but this is the question. So you go and search for that rather than consume. You need to be directing what you're actually researching for. Otherwise you get so much information in. There's data points that are absolutely essential for you to make an informed decision, but then you can start taking on all of this stuff and opinions. Like, opinions are great, but opinions are all formed by someone's past experience and everything like that, and skill level. I love data. Data doesn't lie.
And opinions are not facts.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. So I like data, and that's what we help you with, going out to find that data point and information so you can come to an informed conclusion if something's a good investment for you or not. And that's the important thing for you. So filtering out the research and knowing who to follow, but more importantly, what data points to get, is essential for anyone's success in the space.
That is essential. Number four, overcomplicating things.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's related to trying to buy too many things at one time.
Overcomplication is something that I see in so many different ways, from investment strategies to research to the amount of assets that you hold. Like, if you're holding more than 10 cryptocurrencies and you're doing this by yourself and you don't have a team behind you, you're not going to manage all of them properly. You wouldn't have done the proper research. You won't be able to keep up with the investment strategy. So that's overcomplication. But if you simplify everything, most people think, in order to get to some level of tens of thousands to six figures, and then six figures to seven, and seven to eight, they think that you need to do more parts of the process and throw things in. It's more about simplifying the funnel so you've got less blockers that come through, so your money can flow into you easier. So it's all about simplification. And the only way you can do that is by having a structured process. I think if you look at the Germans, their ability to, everything's a system, everything's a process. So it's simple, but when there's color and you get creative, that's when you start getting confused and overwhelmed and it starts getting complex. If you simplify things down and just have a strategy and an approach, then you can rinse, cycle, repeat, meaning you go through it, you get feedback, you get results, good or bad, and then you go through it again, and you can take out all the things that aren't working and do it over and over and over and over. And that's how you get consistent results.
That's very interesting. Number five, following the market.
So following the market can be chasing the market. So one thing I mentioned earlier, you remember me saying about proactive investment strategies.
Yeah.
So what most people do is they're constantly being emotionally triggered that, oh, the price has gone up, maybe I should go and do something, or the price has gone down and, oh, maybe I should be buying more, or should I be selling? And it's constantly chasing the market, being in a reactional state rather than in a proactive state, mapping everything out. Trigger, okay, I'll go and do this. Trigger, okay, I'll go and do that. And that's how you make money, rather than constantly chasing the market. I'd say literally 80 to 85% of the market are chasing the market rather than allowing the market to come to them. And it's that, it's like that extra 10%. Instead of constantly running on the hill of a mountain, if you do that extra 10% work, get your strategies all implemented, get it all automated, then you'll be running on the flat surface, and it's way easier. easier to run on the flat than it is up the hill. And people don't realize it's just that extra 10% shift, the extra last bit that they have to do to make their life 10 times easier. So they're not in that emotional reactional state. Emotionally investing, go and look at the Wall Street cheat sheet. It's one of my favorite things. It just simplifies 14 emotional states of a market cycle. And that's typically what happens because people are always reacting rather than proactive to it with our strategies.
All right, I'm gonna look at those trigger things myself. Okay, and number six, lack of risk planning. I think that's a very important one.
Yeah, absolutely. Risk is massive. So risk can be within your investment strategy. Risk can be with the way that you're investing into opportunities in the market that maybe you know nothing about. There's two types of risk. There's investment risk, which is natural and that's going to happen. And then there's unnecessary risk. So unnecessary risk can mean that you're not safely storing and managing your assets. And even if you've got a hardware wallet, kudos, that's an awesome start. Most people don't manage their recovery phase in the right way. So if anything happens to you or the device, if you're on holiday on the other side of the world, you don't have your device with you or any way of accessing your recovery phase, all of these things, I get calls from solicitors all the time saying, I've got someone in front of me, their partner's deceased, can we gain access to their Bitcoin? And I ask them a couple of questions and they're like, what are you talking about? And I'm just like, oh no. And it happens far too often. So the big thing for me is let's eliminate all of the unnecessary risk from your investment approach to how you're analyzing something to what you're investing into, from the way that you strategically move your money in and out of the market to the way that you're safely managing and storing your assets, from doing test transactions in and out of the market or from your wallet. There's so many factors that you can go through. And when you eliminate all of them on a psychological level, you feel like you're in more control. And if you think about, I always use the analogy of a house. If you build solid foundations within a house, you know you can keep developing and building on top of that. And your structure is solid. So you've got confidence and absolutely, let's put an extension on, absolutely, let's put another level. And it's the same within cryptocurrencies. If you know that everything's not aligned from a risk minimization perspective, when you do start operating and entering in the market, firstly, subconsciously, not consciously, because no one will reject money consciously, subconsciously, you will reject opportunities, you'll reject wealth creation opportunities within crypto, because you know on a subconscious level, your foundation isn't set. So that's the core thing for me, eliminate all the unnecessary risk and have that solid foundation so you can just annihilate the returns going forward because you're operating from a place of control and certainty. It's one of the core basic human needs that we have, being in a place of certainty, and that's absolutely what you need with your investments.
Wow, I'm doing research for this interview. I came across your Trustpilot reviews.
Yes.
And couldn't find anyone who said a bad thing about your course, and now I understand why.
yeah, this is my, like I said, it's my purpose, why I've been put here, and I do truly believe that, and you can see by what people say about us, it's because I care. When people come on with me, they're getting a result because we go through a vetting process, if you want to call it that, and we don't accept everyone on. I only want people that I know are committed, they're going to do the work, because they'll get the result that they're due. So we're very good at, I've got a team that help me with that, and then I have control of that as well, which is great. So that helps me to only allow the right people on that are going to do the work and going to get the results. So that's probably part of why we get such incredible feedback. But when people are part of the team, part of the family, we do everything within our control to ensure that they get the result and outcome that they're due. And a big thing that we boast, which is almost the opposite to everyone else, everyone out there that I see is boasting that they've got a couple of thousand people in their group and how happy they are with that. I would literally not be boasting that. I boast the opposite, that we don't work with many people at any given point in time because they need that level of support and guidance. And the only way you're going to get that result is not by having this great course that you can follow, but it's about having a unique support system of incredible people that will ensure that you apply and get the result. And when you trip over, you're not putting a message in that 1,000 people that that don't know what they're doing respond to you. The founder, the core head analyst, the core people within the team are engaging with you. So that's why we get such great feedback. And it broke my heart when someone left me a 4-star, because I think we've got one, maybe two, because we did everything we could within our control to ensure that they got the result and outcome. And they messaged me after and they make loads of money. And I'm like, don't do this. But I can't take it personally. I know everyone's doing their own thing, but absolutely. And for anyone watching, please go and look at our success stories or Trustpilot reviews. You'll see that this isn't just about helping you to make money in crypto.
It's not a Facebook group to, you know, shill shit coins that you get paid to shill.
No.
It's nothing like that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a lot more controlled within that, and everything's kind of regulated. It's here to help. The cool thing is, someone said, what do you do? We teach people how to fish and we give them a rod as well. So we're not fishing for them, giving them the quick dopamine hit. What people think they want is the latest and greatest opportunities. What people need is a real education, so they're not dependent on any other expert. They can think for themselves, and that's what gets lifelong change and real results.
It does indeed. So your PDF also mentioned 3 simple tips. Number 1, have a strategy. I think that it's like for everything in life, right? You need Absolutely. A strategy. Not just cryptocurrencies.
Yeah, the great analogy, failing to plan is planning to fail, quite literally. So, and that's so true with your investment strategies and your structure within how you're analyzing stuff. If you've got that clarity on this is how I'm going to operate, here's a number of different strategies that I can apply from more an automated and less risky approach through to more advanced, you're just always in that control piece and you know exactly what's going to happen and where you're at. And that's the essential piece. So implementation of strategies before you even make an investment. You don't invest and then try figuring out your strategies. Everything should be set before you even spend any money in the market through an investment perspective.
Because that's step 2, create wealth with the right investments.
Yeah, absolutely. And that can be, you can have the right time. Everyone gets obsessed with timing of market. But you can invest in the wrong opportunity at the right time and it's still not going to go anywhere. So when it's creating wealth within the right opportunities and investments within the market, it's being able to analyze that in depth of what you're actually investing into. So you don't get caught in the marketing. There's a lot of great marketers within crypto that are saying this is the amount of times that I've seen, this is the great project that's going to supersede Bitcoin. This is the great project that's going to supersede Ethereum. Why is Bitcoin and Ethereum still 1 and 2? So that are the questions. And I'm not saying that we want to be ignorant to other opportunities that can't come out and create better things than potentially what they are. I know if you look at, I think it was Google was something like the 21st search engine and Facebook was something like the 6th social platform. It doesn't mean that Bitcoin, just because it's the first, is going to be the best. And I'm not insinuating that. And there could be something that's created maybe that is better, but it's understanding that, not just getting caught up in the marketing. It's about really picking apart and analyzing that. And to do that, you need structure of how to analyze the process as well.
And does that lead to the minimum dose theory?
To an extent. So the minimum dose theory ties into what I was mentioning at the start of with day trading. So if you think about the minimum dose theory here, if you went to, let's say you were unwell and you went to a doctor and you've got this illness and the doctor turns around and says, right, I'm going to give you 100 IU of this injection to make you better, but you only need 20 IU, not 100. Why would I want 100 when I only need 20? So it's about doing the minimum input for the maximum return. I'm sure you guys, or maybe some of you would have heard of the Pareto principle, which is the 80-20 rule. I want to put 20% of input to get 80% return, not an extra 80% of input for an extra 20% return. My priority is not making money. my priority is as a father to my young, beautiful boy, James, who's 2.5, and my beautiful partner, and to my health and my spirituality and my fun in life, not being a slave to cryptocurrency. So the only way that you can really be set up on that level, because you've got other commitments outside, is having structure, having processes, so you can be really efficient with your time and effective, automate things, and then you're in a position where you can be more hands-off. It's kind of like landscape in a garden. If you walk into a garden and it's a dust bowl, and I come up with funny analogies, you're probably thinking he's talking about bloody doctors, dust bowls. And so if you walk into a garden and it's a dust bowl, there's work to be done to get it where you want. You need to landscape it, you need to turf the grass, plant the trees, put the pond in, whatever you want. And once it's done, then you can just mow the grass and you can water it and you can trim the trees. That's what this is about, setting up, getting something in place, and then having that minimum dose theory where you can do the minimum amount of work, but still keep things growing and still keep things at the level that you want as well, because you're in that place of control now, because you've done the work to set up the frameworks and get the structures set and in place. So that's the minimum dose theory is way more important than what people realize. And that to me is the complete opposite of getting caught up in day trading. That's the 100% in for who knows what return, because it's just a form of advanced gambling. Unless you've got 10 to 15 years in other markets like FX and commodities, and you really understand what you're doing.
And that is the simple tip number 3. We cover all of them. Look at that.
High five.
Okay, so one last question.
Yes.
What was it about Bitcoin that made you see the future?
I think, and that's a great question. I think for me, and I guess you could say it's quite spiritual, but I think we're going through, I think the frequency of the planet has changed on a scientific level. And we're moving to a place of decentralization, meaning, and I'm a hippie with that, where's Ralph Lauren, so don't be disillusioned by that. What I would say is this: I saw a clear decentralization, giving power back to the people, and that was the movement of what we were going through and absolutely still are going through, taking the power away from the corrupt centralized governing bodies and then giving that power back to the people. So that was one of the core things that really triggered me and was an eye-opener, moving away from that traditional broken system. The other things that really caught my attention was the advancement within technology and the fact that it's built on something that's immutable, that isn't open for, it can be manipulated, and it probably is manipulated like most markets, but in terms of the actual security within cryptography, that was a real core piece to me, that is something that's just immutable and can be developed and built upon. And that was really, I guess, the next level from what we built of the internet. But just given that trust, I love the fact that it's a trustless system. You don't have to put trust in someone that we can't trust anymore, like the banks, and the fact that they get done for so many things, like HSBC being one of the biggest money launderers, and Westpac with all the illegal activity. I think it was like 16 million counts they went through. So I don't want to trust anyone. I don't have to. And that's what I love about Bitcoin and the advancements with that. It's given ownership to people so they can manage their own money. They don't have to rely on others, especially as a traditional system starts to fall apart. It's that control and development. So it's the natural progression, digitization of everything.
You and I are certainly aligned with that.
There's most people that fits within this space as well. And I often say Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies is spiritual money. That's the way that I look at cryptocurrencies.
I say it's a vote for freedom.
Yeah, absolutely. Independence.
Exactly. All righty. Thank you heaps.
Oh, thank you guys for joining in. And I don't know if you're sending out any links, but absolutely, if you haven't, download the playbook. I've recorded and I've got live training sessions as well. So I don't know if we can chuck any links on for that too.
We certainly can. They will be in the description.
I love it. She's one step ahead. Awesome. You've done this before.
Thank you.
Awesome. And thanks everyone for tuning in. And hopefully you got some value out of this. I'm here to serve and help how I can. So Appreciate you tuning in. If you have watched to the end, I'm sure some of you probably, after I explain some things, are like, this guy's not for me. But for anyone that did tune in to the end, I hope you got value out of this. Thank you, Adrian.
And that was the vivacious Joseph Hsu, aka Joe Hsu. Hope we inspired you to learn more about cryptocurrencies. I feel it's super important to cut through some of the myths and try to help as many people as possible avoid falling for scams. So if you have a friend who might be needing to hear this episode, be a mate and send them the link. If you have any questions for Joe, you can reach out on Twitter at Joseph_Hsu and via his website. The links are in the description for you. Before we go, I'd like to give a big shout out to Alexander from Melbourne, who wrote me the kindest note on LinkedIn the other day. It really fills me with joy knowing that all the work that I put into creating this for you is not only appreciated, but also useful. So, thanks for your note, Alexander. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Get in touch for suggestions or questions at abelotti or at blockchainpp_ on Twitter. And I will put also other links in the description. That is all for now. I will see you on the next block. Bye.